Welcome to this week's edition of In the Clubhouse with EMD Baseball. I'm Andy Kirikides, joined by my wonderful co-host, who is wrapping the Compass Cycle hat today, Keith Glasser. How are we doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. Just supporting small local businesses.
Support small, support local. Another plug for my my sister-in-law's, you know, Compass Cycle Studio. We're in the city. We're on the west side in Greece. Get on out there. Get some butts and bikes. We got yoga too. So for all you yogis out there,
get your stretch on.
Get on in there. You know, PD Larson's going to be home soon. PD is a big yoga guy. Loves yoga at Compass. So, you know, we got baseball people abound over there, and you know, and just it's not just all baseball people. It's everybody. It's a wonderful experience. I was there on Friday. Probably go back again. I love that place.
Get your sweat on. Get your stretch on. See you on the west side. See you in Greece.
Phenomenal community.
If you're not excited about going to Compass, you better check your pulse.
Hey, I'm telling you. You're here in Rochester. Get in there. You got to experience it.
All right. Well, now that we got the Compass plug, tell Bree we should be expecting our check here soon.
Cheers.
Let's talk about offers, right? This has come up a little bit with some guys, and we've had some conversations about different things. And we're going to talk about kind of the different types of offers that go out and kind of how it works. A few things have changed with the new roster limit expected to pass here soon. And I think it's worth walking through the Division I, Division II baseball money model and kind of how that works. And then I think Division III is where people seem to have a lot of questions of like, what is an offer and like, how does that work? And obviously you in particular, having been a head coach at the Division III level, can probably speak pretty good detail on this. So let's kick it off at the Division I side. What do we got here?
I mean, first and foremost, the easiest one, right, is that you're going to be offered scholarship money. You know, that's a pretty blatant indication of an offer and that they want you. Right. So, you know, that's the easiest one to kind of, you know, parse through. Now, you know, you and I were just talking, you know, pre-show before we came on here and we're recording, but I want to be very clear. Like the rules are still a tad bit murky, but the idea that there's going to be 34 full scholarships available next year, it's not going to happen. What I do think is going to happen is that the roster limit obviously is going to 34. That's concrete. And where I think the differences from years past to now is going to shake out are the guys that were offered the fall or guys that were offered like walk-on tryouts. Those I don't think are going to exist anymore. There's going to be scholarship offers, and then there's going to be straight up roster offers where there's some mix of money. Like it could be scholarship money if they spread it out, or it's kind of like the Division III model of like you're going to get a ton of academic money and need-based money, and you're going to be on the team. You know, but I think gone are the days of the, hey, come and try out for the fall, and we'll make a decision at the end of the fall whether or not you're on the roster. Or like, yeah, we have walk-on tryouts, so come on and try out for, you know, a week or two, and we'll make a decision. Like those aren't going to happen anymore. Because that hard cap is at 34, I just don't see programs. Now, I could be wrong. There might be some that do it. But I don't see programs trying to bring in like 45, 50 guys and being like Hunger Games playing for two spots. I just don't necessarily see that being the case. And the flip side to it is if you're a family that's in that position, like, do you really want to be a part of a program where there's 50 dudes playing for the last 33rd and 34th spot on the roster? Like, that should be a red flag where you want to go somewhere else where you're legitimately going to get offered scholarship money or, you know, quote unquote, a guaranteed spot on the roster. You know, I would say this, you know, especially like whether or not it's one, two, or three, you know, they're going to be year to year type things in that, you know, as long as you don't screw up and you're doing everything it is that you need to be doing on and off the field, you're going to stay with that program for 4 years. I can't speak for all programs because you see the transfer portal and you see kids that are going to be asked to leave programs, you know, but especially at the Division II, Division III levels, you're going to see, you know, the vast majority of kids are going to stick for 4 years. You know, but for Division One, I think it's pretty cut and dry. You're going to have scholarship offers, and then you're going to have, you know, might not be a scholarship, but like go through the admissions process. You're going to get this and this and merit and need-based money, and you will be on the roster of the team when you get here to campus.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would add to that would be the concept of stacking. And just from a, this is going to happen with baseball money involved. So it's kind of a subset of the kind of the hard and cut offer that you were talking about, but that you, a lot of schools now, not all, but a lot of schools do have the ability to offer baseball money. And then on top of that, include financial aid as well as merit-based money as a part of that package. So that's another way that you can stack some money in a part of what that offer can look like. But for Division One and Division Two, like Division One specifically with the new roster limit, like it's, I think it's going to be pretty cut and dry to your point. You're either going to get a roster spot that's non-baseball money, or you're going to get baseball money and then potentially additional money as that goes. For Division Two, I think you're going to see pretty much of the same, where it could be a combination of those three that we had talked about, where you could get baseball money, you could get a roster spot with other types of money, but they're still going to have the, hey, come here and try out in the fall. We'll give you a full fall to try to make the team. They don't have nearly the restrictions that Division One does from the roster perspective. So I do think you'll see some of that. And, you know, if you're a parent or a player who's going through that process and that's the offer that you have, you just basically, you need to do the math on what you're walking into and understand like, what's the likelihood that I'm going to make this team, or do I have another place where I have a guaranteed offer? So trying to figure out what that looks like is really just having conversations with coaches and getting a feel for what, how they view you and how you fit into their program. But I think that Division Two is, I don't think the needle is going to move much in terms of how it works. It's going to be baseball money, a combination roster spot with merit and financial, and then you still are going to have schools that are going to bring in 50 guys and parse through those 50 to get down to their final roster, which is, you know, it's been happening in college baseball for decades. It's been amplified by the portal because guys can leave more freely, but I think that'll pretty much stay the same. I don't know if you agree or disagree on that.
I think it's going to be the same. But I also think that there are, you know, there are going to be programs that are going to keep 50. You know, and like it or not, there are some schools out there that want sports programs to keep large rosters from an enrollment standpoint. So, you know, like that's a reality as well. You know, and I think at the Division Two and the Division Three level as well, because it's a little similar, but you know, it's nothing off your back if you have, if you keep, you know, a four or five extra guys who legitimately might be able to help you in 2 years, right? Like it's almost like you treat it like a JV or a developmental squad where, you know, you have these kids practice and play every day and throw in inter squads and play in inter squads and get a little bit of live reps, but they're just not there yet physically. And then by the time they're juniors, like maybe they are. And if they are, like, hey, awesome. Like it was a great story. If not, like, hey, great kid, part of the program, made people better, but you know, just never really made the field. You know, so it's a little bit of a different animal like that. You know, but no, I don't think there's going to be a whole wholesale changes at the Division II level when it comes to the what the quote unquote offers are.
For Division III, this is where it gets a little bit murky. And I think it's where most people's questions kind of live because there is no money tied to it. I think there's some schools, the higher academic schools, I actually think it's a lot more straightforward because there's a semblance of roster limits due to the admissions process, right? It's really hard at a school like Rochester or Amherst or Tufts or name whatever really high academic school to have 40 guys because you need to find 40 guys who can get into school that are also good enough to play for you. So a lot of times with those high academic schools, you're basically committing to the academic, you're committing to the admissions process. And those coaches are typically going to say, hey, we want you to be a part of this. this is, we have a spot for you on this team. We want you to apply early decision and your early decision application and committing to that process and your eventual acceptance into that school is essentially your commitment, right? Would you say that's a fair assessment, having worked? That's how we handled it at Vassar, is that we were looking for kids to commit early decision to us. And that was basically us knowing, well, that roster spot's taken care of. We're not going to go get another kid because that met our quota for that specific position that year.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing in Division III, and to be clear, every institution is different with how they handle admits through the admissions department for each school, right? Like, you know, some schools have, you know, slots where they can, you know, support guys, and admissions is going to look at it and they're going to be able to get those guys in. Other schools don't have said slots, and it's just kind of, you know, you got to apply and see what happens. Other schools, you know, you can go through an early read process and have a really good idea that you're going to be admitted to that school, more or less, as long as you don't fail all of your classes senior year, and you'll be into that institution. So everyone has a different way about how they go about it in the recruiting process. You know, but ultimately, I think a lot of Division III schools are trying to drive guys into early decisions so that you're done in November. Does that happen for the entire class every year? No, at every school. Does it happen at some? Yeah, it does. You know, so it really depends program, school to school. You know, but I think the biggest thing at the Division III level is there is no athletic money available. There is no scholarship money that you're going to get. The only money that is available is the merit scholarship money and the need-based money, which is available to every single student who applies to every single school at the Division III level that you're going to be attending. You know, and I think the biggest thing, and, you know, some of the questions that we get in talking to some of the coaches is that you have, you know, like the only offer that you can get is that you're going to be on the roster. And again, usually this is like a year-to-year thing. I would always tell people, like, I will guarantee you your first year. If, you know, you don't do things off the field or on the field that you should be doing, like, then we're going to have to revisit that. But I will give you at least 1 year to prove that you should be a part of this program. Now, in saying that, the vast majority of kids who played for me at RPI spent all 4 years, or five, six, seven, some of them 7 years there. There's no real, like, quote unquote offer. And I think nowadays there's some confusion, and this happened with me, where I was like, I have a family in front of me, I'm like, listen, if you choose to come to RPI, you know, you'll be with us. You know, this is what I think we're going to be able to do from a development standpoint. This is what I think you're going to be able to come in and compete for innings on the mound right away, depending on how you do and how you develop and how you, you know, show up and show out for us will depend on how many innings you get. And you kind of get through it, and like, it's like, so is that an offer? Like, yes. That, like, do I have to explicitly say that this, I'm offering you a spot on the team? Like, I just told you, if you choose to come here, you will be with us. And I think sometimes, like, it gets a little murky that there's no, like, quote unquote offer. You know, but again, like, there's nothing to really offer, but I suppose you could offer a roster spot. But, you know, on an unlimited roster, are you even really offering anything? You know what I mean? And I think that that's where it can get a little convoluted with families. Like, the coaches are looking at this, like, I could have 100 kids on this roster if I wanted to. Like, there's not really an offer. I'm not really off. I don't really have anything to offer. All the money is coming from admissions in the school. Like, all I can kind of tell you is that you're going to be with the program for at least 1 year. You know, so I think that's where it can get a little murky. But I do still think at Division III, you're going to have walk-ons, and, you know, you're going to have guys that are going to be told, like, hey, if you can get into school on your own, we will, like, we'll give you the fall to try out for the team and see what happens. And same kind of thing. You know, there are more JV teams at the Division III level than there are at the Division II level. Essentially, you just can't play 40 games between both. But they'll play JUCOs and things like that. You know, we used to have one at RPI. Carl loved it. I mean, there were all Americans that played on the JV team as freshmen and sophomores. you know, so it's not a bad thing. It's for some guys who need a little bit extra work and development, and it can work out. But some programs do have them, and it's worth asking the question in the recruiting process if it's at the Division III level, if there is one.
Yeah, and I mean, at the Division III level, figuring out what the fit is, right? Like, your communication with those coaches is going to tell you a lot, right? If they're actively recruiting you and they have that conversation that you were just talking about, they want you there. And it's up to you to make that decision with your family on what you want to do and whether that school is the right fit for you. There are a lot of schools at the Division III level that are going to carry 40 to 50 guys, and they might throw some offers out that are a little more ambiguous to your point around, hey, if you get into school, or we'll give you the full fall. Like, that's a very typical thing where they might not guarantee you something, but if you show up and you're one of the best 45 guys, like, they're going to keep you. You're never going to turn down a good player at that level because you just don't have the restrictions. Like, I mean, it happens at every program, probably. I mean, shoot, every couple of years we would get a kid, even at Vassar with the academic requirements as high as they were, we would get a kid who would email us in April and say, hey, coach, I got in, I'm interested in playing baseball. Like, what are my options? And we would always tell them, like, here's all the stuff. We'll see you September 1st in the first team meeting. And if you're good enough, we'll keep you. It's not the most typical way to go about it, but you have a lot more flexibility, and it does happen. I mean,
it's an important thing to mention because it does happen. It happens a lot more obviously at the Division III level than it does the other ones. But it is important that if you are going to kind of go that route, to make sure that you're, you know, at least communicating with the coaches that, you know, this could be a thing that you want to do. What you don't want to do is email them. And this is the God's honest truth. The coaches are going to get annoyed if you email them on like August 15th and you're like, hey, I'm coming to school, I want to try out for baseball, what do I need to do? Because it's not because they're annoyed that you're into school and you're like those things. It's because there's a long process that you're going to have to get cleared medically. You're going to have a physical. There's a lot of boxes that need to be checked that everyone else has already checked. And you're adding more work at the start of the year for somebody that I've never heard from ever in my life. Now, most people will do it because it's like, well, what if? Like, it's that old, like, you can't like go to sleep at night. Like, what if this kid is really good? But it can get to be a little annoying when it's like, you know, 2-3 days before school starts, like, hey, I want to try out for, like, again, this isn't 13th grade. Like, you can't, like, some programs don't even have tryouts. And, you know, the other part of it is if that's the route you're going to go, if you do legitimately want to try out again, like, you're going to have to get a physical from your doctor. You're going to have, you know, clearance from the training staff. There's a lot of boxes that need to be checked there. And if you're not going to do them in a very condensed time frame, they're just going to be like, yo, I'm like, you can't try out, for a couple different reasons. One, like, it's showing that you're not capable of following directions and doing this. But the other is, like, again, it's a time suck. Like, I'm spending time on somebody who I've never met before, I don't know how good they are, who just thinks they can walk onto my program, and I have all, like, I'm spending more time with this than doing the things that I need to be doing with my team. So if that is a route that you're going to go at whatever school it is you're applying to, make sure that you're reaching out to the coaching staff, you know, late spring, early summer, and be like, hey, I deposited, I'm coming to school, I would like to try out, send some video along, whatever it might be, so that you get all the information and they have the information, and it's not a last minute, like, hey, I decided today that I want to try out for the baseball team tomorrow. Like, and the reality is, if that is something that you want to do, like, you're not going to be allowed to, not because the coaches, I mean, in part, but, like, there's medical things that you need, like, they need to know to clear you to make sure that, like, God forbid something was to happen, like, they're not on the hook for it. So, you know, especially in baseball, like, you go out there and you're in an air squad and someone throws 92 miles an hour and it hits you in the head, like, we can't just have any of someone out there who, you know, we don't know what might happen. You know, so there's a lot of other things behind the scenes that coaches have to do with all of that stuff. So, to that point, like, yes, that happened to me at RPI. It happened to you guys at Vassar. Like, I know it happens to my wife. It happens to every coach in the country, regardless of what school you're at. You know, if that is something you want to do again, like, be proactive and early in the process and trying to figure out what it is you need to do and talk with them so that you don't add more on their plate. And then, because we all know what happens. An 18-year-old kid is like, well, I don't understand why I can't do this. Like, well, man, my hands are tied. Like, I have, there's things that, like, 47 other people did this. I can't just let you do it because you want to do it. Like, that's not how the world works. Sorry, everybody. Not how the world works. There's boxes that need to be checked. Things need to be done in order for you to be able to do that. So I'll get off my soapbox on that. But as you can tell, that was something that aggravated me when I was coaching. Like, I just every year, like, week of school, like, hey, I want to try out for baseball. Like, man, you need a physical from your doctor. Well, I haven't had one and I'm from California. Like, can't help you out.
Yeah. We've all been there with the kid shows up to practice and you're like, hey man, you can't practice. What do you mean I can't practice? Well, none of the paperwork you were supposed to fill out for the last 2 weeks is done.
Not only that, but like, we digress here, everybody. I'm sorry. Think about how maddening it was getting your own team, like your current team that you're with every day, to fill out all the stuff they need to fill out. It's maddening. Because your trainer's emailing you and texting you like every other day, like, hey, these five guys haven't filled out their stuff. And then you have to text them. And then you're like, hey, why haven't you done this? I told you need to be done in July. Oh, my bad, class, I'll get it done. And then the next day he's like, yo, these five guys still haven't done this. And it's, you know, and it's, and again, like, it's medical stuff. It's concussion protocol stuff nowadays. Like, you got to take an actual test on a computer. Like, I mean, I can't tell many guys, like, because they don't read the directions, failed the concussion test without having a concussion because they don't read the directions, you know? So like, it's maddening on that end. And then when you have people that just show up and be like, oh, I just want to do this. Like, yeah, man, like, there's a whole process behind the scenes that you have to go through that, you know, you need to take care of in order to even be medically cleared to set foot on this field. I can't, and it's not me, like, I can't let you on the field if you're not medically cleared.
And that is not,
if it was one of my guys that I recruit that's on my team that didn't do this, they can't set foot on the field either. So it's not a battle that
we're not fighting that battle either.
No,
we're not fighting. Well, let's just let him pray. No, like, there's no gray area with it.
No, there's not. So they're like, again, if that's the route that you decide to go, and for everyone who's listening, when your children do commit to these places, there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that, like, needs to be done. Make sure they're doing it. Like, Austin, God bless him. I love Austin. It finally got to the point with Austin where I was like, just text them. Stop texting me. This aggravates me more than anything else.
Well, with that being said, hopefully we covered the offers there pretty well. If you guys got any other further questions, you can hit us up on the socials. And happy to dive into anything specific there, but I think we covered it pretty good. Anything else?
No.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. Tune in next week. We will talk to you then.
Thank you for listening this week. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and smash that like button for us. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at EMD Baseball. If you want to find out what me and Keith do to help families and players navigate the recruiting process, go ahead and check us out on EMDBaseball.com. Take a few minutes to check out our new online academy. I promise you'll get some good information out of that. Thanks again for listening. Check in with you next week.